Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We got a Woody and a Chubb in the building.
We got a Woody and a Chubb in that backfield.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily, presented by Mokarum Injury Lawyers.
Mokarum Injury Lawyers, baby. Hard as hell to say, easy to dial. 281-222-2222. Injured in any kind of accident, you know who to call. And folks over at Mokarum Injury Lawyers is where it's at, man. 281-222-2222. Now, Texans, mandatory minicamp started today, boys. And you can tell the energy, the feel at NRG is turned up a notch, right? This ain't going through the motions. I know they're in sweats, but you know the real players are there now, and it means something. They're all together. That those competitive juices get to flowing. Little different vibe at NRG Stadium than it was during OTAs. They took the field at 9:30 this morning. It was a little bit after 9:30 actually by the time that we got in there. But they go again tomorrow morning for the final mandatory practice before training camp, I believe, before training camp cracks off. So we're close. But T, can I get my music?
I reckon.
Can I get my damn music?
I didn't know you had music.
Let me get my music one time, T.
What is this? What is this going to be? Oh.
Turn that thing up one time. Remember that hit right there?
I think I do.
You remember that hit right there? Today was what?
Good day, Q.
Just waking up. Hey, I eased over to NRG Stadium. We walked in there. No barking from the dog. It was a good day.
I know. I'm getting nervous here.
Yeah, you might want to pipe that down a little bit because I think at some point O'Cube gets vulgar.
Should be the clean version.
Oh, okay. Thanks,
I'm a professional, boys.
Yeah, I should have known.
To the stars.
Damn it, man.
Rockets.
Walked out there. Walked out there and first thing I see, I said, Ron, has he thrown a ball yet? Ron said, oh, yeah. Boner alert. That too.
I texted out.
I looked over there, and he's spinning it. And my first thought was, is C.J. Stroud out here just kind of flipping it around the screen game, maybe doing a little screen period, or is today really a good day? And is C.J. Stroud, like, spinning it? I ease over a little where I got a good view of the field, Ron, and it's
pump sling at 7.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was, Johnny. It's a corner route. They moved down to the red zone, couple little back shoulder fade routes, both sides, left and right. And then I see C.J. Stroud take it, and not a big deal, but more of a one where if you're a quarterback, you got to speed up that release a little bit. You got to tighten up that release a little bit and drive the football in the tight end's chest right there on the 5-yard line before that linebacker swats it out. C.J., money. C.J. Stroud today, y'all. No limitations. CJ Stroud today. Little rust. I mean, a little bit of rust. I don't think there was anything rust-wise that I would attribute to the injury. It's more rust-wise that I would attribute to new wide receivers. First time going full go with the whole team kind of deal. Because he was on point early. Threw a back shoulder to Nico Collins in just some one-on-one. It wasn't one-on-one. It was just some routes on air type situation. That's when I knew Nico is in play in tip-top shape. And that's when I knew C.J. Stroud was spinning it, Ron. Well, we go over to 7-on-7, and C.J. Stroud throws a corner route to Christian Kirk to the right, throws a go route to Higgins to the left, throws a little dig route over the middle to Higgins, a couple of plays later. And Houston, there is zero worry about C.J. Stroud moving forward. He was spinning around the park. Again, he was doing it with no limitations. And Ron, barring some kind of report coming out of NRG Stadium, like, hey, man, there's some soreness going on. Again, you know, the shoulder flared up a little bit. Barring any of that coming out of C.J., based on what we could see, today was a really, really good day. The quarterback in Houston was full go.
He looked normal.
Looked normal.
He looked like his normal self. And Clint, it didn't appear that they kind of slowed anything up on him. It appeared that they let him run every drill, everything he did. He did multiple team periods. They didn't even try to put him on a pitch count, so to speak, in that practice. That is the big thing. And to me, as we talked about it with Will earlier, we talked about it earlier today, I think it was a fair thing to discuss and talk about. We on this show, despite what people hear, we on this show discussed that we didn't think it was a point to be concerned yet. We did think this week was a big week. Because this would make it a month that he wasn't throwing at practices, and that's either for the injury and him getting to know the system and do it out on the field. But he practiced today, and it's a dead deal, I think, right now. Like you said, unless we roll through and he takes off some more time with soreness again, and then it would be a different conversation.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that, but I like if that were going to be the case and it wasn't something freakish, you would be, like you said, pitch count, some kind of, hey, we're not going to throw deep balls, but he was doing it all. Now here's another part of C.J. Stroud that I thought was very telling. It's something that happened to C.J. Stroud, and I'm dead ass serious when I say this, by the way. Somebody needs to slow Will Anderson down.
I said it at OTAs when he took over the practice when they were in pads, but was rolling through that bad boy.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot you can do to him when he's not on pads.
Yeah.
You also don't want to hurt him, but yeah.
Well, he comes through and you know, just bends the corner on Fisher one time, which Fisher, the offensive line, is to see them. D'Amico said it multiple times. There's nothing you can really tell from the O-line, D-line, because nobody has pads on, right? Well, Will Anderson's taking full advantage of it. And at one point, he gets all the way back to C.J. Stroud and puts hands on C.J.'s shoulder, kind of throwing arm kind of deal. And it wasn't a big deal.
I'm ready to start seeing somebody get a little bit more physical with him.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, if I'm Fisher, I'm like, no pads or not, I don't care. This is ridiculous, man. I mean, not only are you making me look bad, now you're back here hitting my quarterback's arm. Like, at some point, if I'm C.J. Stroud, I'm all joking aside, if I'm C.J. Stroud, I'm one shoulder tap away from going, hey, Will, man, why don't you chill the hell out, man? I don't know how good of friends they are, but I'm one tap on the shoulder or tap on my hand. Because the thing is, it's real cute when it's just a shoulder like it was today. But if CJ, whether he's hurt or not, if CJ is in a full throwing motion and his elbow or his arm catches Will's hand or elbow or helmet, there's going to be a stupid mistake made that could potentially hurt the quarterback. If I'm C.J. Stroud, I mean, I don't know how good of friends they are, but I'm one of them shoulder taps away from, hey, man, we're in sweats, man. Can you chill the hell out for a minute and let us get some work
it.
In here?
He's bringing it.
There ain't no doubt. You mentioned it the first time about him bending the corner, and next thing you know, he's ripping, but hell, it's a real rip. He ain't even slowing down on that. He's ripping the hell out of it.
I'd rather the rip, though. Rip, we can maybe get some work in.
Well, he needs –
the corner, like, I can't do nothing. I can't shove you down in the
– Get whatever work you want to do for the first four steps and then get the hell out of the way. I mean, to run the tackle back into the quarterback when he takes a drop and sitting in the pocket is silly at this point.
I don't care. Will's got 15 sacks in his
Oh, there ain't
these
no doubt.
OTAs.
There's no doubt, yeah. Man. There's no doubt. Most disruptive guy ever in walkthrough. I mean, you just got, we got to chill out a little bit, Will.
The good thing is he's pretty disruptive in the game.
We got to chill out a little bit, Will. But that, on a serious note, when Will reached around Fisher and tapped CJ's right arm, I knew at that point, like, hey, well, they're clearly good. If there was something wrong or something really worried about with that right arm, they'd have went nuts at that point in time. Now, moving on from CJ Stroud and Will's crazy ass, I want to go to Jaden Higgins. I said coming into to the mandatory minicamp, Ron, one thing I wanted to see, Jalen Knoll had jumped off the field in a handful of OTAs that I'd seen, right? You don't need to watch. Just watch the ball, and it was finding Jalen Knoll consistently, right? So then you see the switch, the twitch, the ability to separate, yada, 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 right? Hadn't seen much from Higgins. Well, today was a Higgins day. There's no doubt about it. As I mentioned, early in practice, C.J. Stroud throws a dime down the sideline to the left with Kamari Lassiter trying to cover Jaden Higgins, and Higgins uses his body really well, kind of shields Lassiter from the ball and reaches go-go gadget arm, reaches one of them long arms out and catches a go route that would have either been a touchdown or it had him inside the 5-yard line. I didn't see exactly where they went down. Then he catches one over the middle and just long strides to the end zone. Then he catches a dig route where you can see from our perspective, man, is just that is a big target with a big catch window. And I'll be honest, I've said this before, Nico doesn't play 6'4", and that's not taking anything away from Nico Collins. Nico plays big, but when I watch Nico play, I don't look and go, boy, that's 6'4 and long. I mean, Nico's superpower is that he's 6'4", but he can play the game like a lot of 6'1 guys can, and he plays violent. When I look at Jaden Higgins, he plays 6'4". He plays longer than most. It jumps out immediately, and that catch today was one. The catch over the middle where from our angle you could see him running across the middle. It's just like, I mean, it's like you're throwing to a 10-foot being in there with those long arms. And so
Higgins
stood out today in a big way with the Texans, and it was a day that I was looking for. Here's D'Amico Ryans on rookie wide receiver Jaden Higgins.
It's been really exciting to see this Jaden's growth process in the short amount of time that he's been here. I've seen a guy who's steadily like got better every single week. You've seen him make even more plays, and seeing him today, I mean, this is the most plays that he's made, and in our last week of camp, to see a rookie who's come in and showing right now that he could be an impact player for us, I think it means a lot. And we saw it as coaches watching this film from the college game, but I think it just means a lot to the entire team, the players, defensive players, other offensive players, actually seeing him thrive in practice, because I truly believe if you take practice the right way, deliberately, and you work at it, it'll show up in the games. And so it's really awesome to see the work that he's doing and the plays that he's making.
Guys, I just think, just listen to what D'Amico's saying. He's asked about Arianti Ursary, and it's, you know, hey, man, he's still working on being a professional, and he's got to, you know, he's got to come along, he's got to do this, got to do that. And that's, each guy's in there at their own place, right? But when he's asked about these wide receivers, Jalen Knoll and Jaden Higgins, when he's asked about those two guys, there is zero hesitation to put them in a different category than most rookies that D'Amico talks about. There's no hesitation to say, did you see Lassiter and Bullock last year? That's the blueprint for these guys. We need these guys to make plays. Now he's talking about Higgins being an impact player. Now, it was an impressive day, but it is interesting. It's very telling. If you listen to what D'Amico Ryan says about rookies in particular, he'll let you know the ones that, hey, man, they ain't quite there yet. They got a lot of work to do. And then the ones that are like, hey, no, these guys are pros. These guys are ready. They're going to help us win. Just listen to D'Amico. He'll give you that, and he gave you that today on Jaden Higgins.
Listen, you kind of talked about it. He was the number one player that stood out in the entire practice to me. And that's with CJ out there doing his thing. Kamari Lassiter made some plays. Now, he got Kamari Lassiter as well. With all those players, great players that the Texans have out there, he stood out the most. And the thing I loved was he did it multiple ways. The fade, that wasn't a surprise. That feels like a new element. And he went up one hand at that piece right over Kamari Lassiter. You know how physical Kamari Lassiter is. I think he had to one hand that piece because Kamari had the other arm. And he went and made the catch and bam, put it down. And then he comes back and runs a completely different route and scores on that. He runs that little crosser that they like to run, and he takes it to the house.
with those long strides. As I said earlier, he's got a kind of a Mike Evans feel when you watch him, the way he moves. I'm not saying he's going to be that type of player, but the way he moves, and you look up and he's covering 20 yards a lot faster than it looks like he's actually moving. And so, I loved what you saw from him today, because, Clint, it's the first time where you've been able to just say, oh, there it is. That's why they selected him. That's why they wanted to get him in that second round. And he did stuff today where you're like, okay, yes, I know it's just the first day of mandatory minicamp, but what he did today, we've got some players here, and I won't name names. I'm sure you will. We got some players here today that have been in our program as receivers that have never done anything that he just did in like two plays the entire time they've been here. Yeah. So those guys should never, ever be on the field ahead of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's clearly an extremely high ceiling there with Jaden Higgins. Can he do it when the pads go on, and can he do it when it's hotter than hell and he's a week into training camp and all the things that the NFL requires out of players? Can he keep on keeping on and be consistent? Because if he can, woo, it's gonna be impressive from jump. We're not gonna have to wait till midseason, if you know what I mean. So the other thing, real quick, the other note I think from training camp that the folks will be interested in is Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb was there. He's wearing number 21. He looks just like the rest of the team. He's not in sweats. He's not standing off to the side. He's not in the weight room. He's not in the training room. He was there on the sideline. He was there back behind the offensive huddle, I'm assuming getting mental reps. But I think that's a statement by Nick Chubb of kind of where he believes your vet should be, no matter what the situation is. So it was good to see him out there as well. Nick Chubb, 21, running back for the Houston Texans.
All right, as we continue, let's move over to the Astros as they got a day off yesterday, much needed, and they will take on the White Sox. The lineup is out. We'll share that with you. And we got to talk about the man on the mound. We've seen Lance, what he's done the last couple of starts. What is this Lance McCullers right now? What type of pitcher, what type of impact player is he right now? We'll discuss that next.
Bury me in the H.
Happy 6-10 day, H-Town. Celebrating another year as Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, the Astros back at it tonight. As they are, as we've said, they've been surging here. As they got added a half a game lead to their AL West lead, with the Mariners losing last night in extras to the Diamondbacks. And I'm sitting there watching it on FS1 last night, and I had to stop myself. I was like, "What am I doing here? Just watching Diamondbacks and Mariners here?" Late. I did that for about an inning. I said, let me get up out of here. But no, they've got a three-game lead. They face the lowly White Sox, one of the worst teams in baseball. The lineup tonight is Jeremy Pena, who is continuing to be the leadoff hitter and play at an all-star level, is leading off. Paredes behind him. Altuve and Diaz is the DH tonight. Christian Walker in that five spot behind him. Jake Myers in center again tonight. Victor Caratini is behind the plate. He's hitting behind Jake in the seventh spot. And then Cam Smith and Jacob Melton are the corner outfielders hitting eight and nine tonight as they look to kind of add to this thing. That's the lineup tonight. Lance McCullers, of course, gets the ball. And look, man, he has pitched his ass off here. His last two starts have been really good. I'll be honest with you, if he didn't have the 7-run in one out in a third of an inning, if he didn't have that outing, really, outside of that game, he has not given up more than 3 runs in any of his starts. Now, a couple of those were 3 2/3 innings, or, you know, he didn't have a lot of length. His last two starts, Clint, he has been top of a rotation type of starter, right? Against the A's a couple of weeks ago, we watched him, you know, go 6 innings, 3 earned, 12 Ks, and 1 walk. And then his last start against Pittsburgh, 6 innings, no earned runs, 7 Ks, and 1 walk. Now, these aren't great offenses, and the White Sox aren't either. But, Clint, this is, as I said, man, I don't know if this is Lance. Like, if this is the expectation you should start to have, and not necessarily these numbers, but the expectations the last time Lance pitched on a regular basis 3 years ago was Lance McCullers is the top of the rotation guy. That was the expectation. I don't believe that is the case right now, but he's pitching in his last two starts like that. So I throw the question to everybody. I see Ocho on here going in about Lance, YouTube and Twitch, those of you on the text line. What is Lance McCullers right now? Like, what type of impact expectation player is he right now? I've read off his last two starts. What is he? Are you getting front of the rotation expectation type thoughts for him?
Well, I mean, front being what, top three? I think him and with Spencer Arrighetti coming back, Spencer's going to have to pitch his ass off, and Lance is going to have to backslide a bit for him to become for Spencer to be the number three starter. I think you couple Lance's experience with his ability, obviously, and what he's done of late, and if he doesn't backslide, it's going to be hard to upseat him as that third starter. So if that's a front of the rotation guy, then the answer is yes. I look at Lance McCullers. For me, I don't know if Lance is going to be a 12 strikeout guy. I don't know what Lance is going to look like as the competition gets better and the schedule toughens up and where he falls. We're playing better teams. I don't know about that, but I'm not even there yet with Lance, if I'm being completely honest. Where I'm at with Lance is, can Lance go out there? Don't care who the opponent is. Can Lance go out there and consistently have good command? The velocity be there down the stretch? Can he work his way into it being fair for all of us to go, okay, Lance can start a game against a playoff contending team, and we should expect a quality start. Like right now, I mean,
he hasn't done that yet.
Right. But that's my point. It's like, I'm not even there yet. It's so early in this comeback for Lance McCullers that it's like, hey man, I don't care who the opponent is, let's just not get into so deep. Let's not get 40 pitches in midway through the second inning. Like let's have better control. And he's voiced this. He's got to have better control, better command of his pitches early in game so he doesn't get deep in the pitch count and not be able to go long in games. And so he's done that the last two games. The more and more he does it, the more a believer I am, the more he controls all of his pitches or the majority of his pitches. Hell, I think he's throwing five or six different pitches. If he can just every outing have two or three of them working and he has control of them, he can be effective. Now, how effective? Versus the best that the Major League Baseball has to offer, I'm not there yet. That's not my expectations. I just want him to navigate whatever opponents are on the schedule with impressively, and he's done that so far.
Yeah, and I think that's the big point, because I'm gonna tell you what, I'm getting close.
Absolutely,
I'm getting close to at least changing my expectations for him. Like right now, my thought is, hey, Lance, hey, rookie, you just be somebody that they can depend on to give the ball to every fifth day. That gives them a chance, right? Like that's it. Like Hunter and Framber in a different space, right? Can you just give them a chance, right? Can you be up there? And it's the same thing that I'm saying with Gordo or Big C. The same thing I'm saying with Ryan Gusto. Can you do that? But I mean, I can't ignore 19 strikeouts and two walks in the last two games. Jeez, like I can't.
He had eight the previous game. There's 27 strikeouts. Yeah,
and strikeouts, swing and misses are a big thing to me, because that means your stuff is playing.
Yeah.
And that means like it's not just like there's some guys that have 6-7 innings and, you know, under two runs, and they've been, you know, either giving up soft contact or they've been allowing people to hit the ball, and their defense has made plays to where if that ball was maybe hit maybe a little bit further over to the right or to the left, that's a double or something like that. Right. No, he's not allowing the ball to be put in play.
Yeah.
And he's getting really, really bad swings from guys. That's kind of stuff that Hunter Brown is getting. That's the kind of stuff that Framber's getting. So that is eye-opening to me. I am close. I think it is very fair. The A's and the and the Pirates and even the White Sox are not great offenses. His next start, if it holds right, would be against the Twins. The Twins are a above 500 playoff level team that I think is probably going to be in it all year. He probably is going to run into the Phillies in his next start. So those are he'll get the Angels in between that, but those are better competition. If we start to see him do that against teams like the Twins, he starts to do that against teams like the Phillies, I think we got no choice but to change the way we view Lance McCullers.
Well, I mean, look, the injuries have given us a really very few options, if we're being honest. I mean, I think this thing comes down for me is you know, can he continue to pitch well enough to kind of hold off Spencer Arrighetti, assuming Spencer Arrighetti comes back and is pitching as well as he was before he decided to play long toss in left field. Like, that's the question for me. I think he's gone from me saying, hey, look, I think he can be a starter in a five-man rotation that can chew some innings up throughout a regular season to, hey, I think he's a legit top three starter and has a chance to fend off Arrighetti when he comes back.
Yeah, text line coming through. Nine of the 12 strikeouts against the A's were check swings. Stuff is nasty. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. He talked about it. His first couple of starts, he didn't have a great feel for his off-speed pitches. Well, he definitely has again. Like, he comes out here and dominates the White Sox like he's been doing. And again, I cannot, downplay this enough at all. Like, the swagger and confidence that he has, you know, in these starts, coming off the mound. I mean, he's walking away on some of these strikeouts that he knows it.
Yeah.
Right. And he looks like he's starting to get himself.
Look, Ron, the we've talked about this a million times with the Astros. Like, the star players just don't bring much juice to the game. So, I mean, it's you know, you're relying on Lance McCullers and Spencer Arrighetti and now Jeremy Pena coming around. And we've seen Cam Smith bring a little bit of extra personality to the field. And you know, I think this team needs that. So, yeah, if Lance can keep rolling, that I would definitely think that'd be contagious.
All right, coming up, as we attended ourselves, we were there, boots on the ground, at mandatory minicamp day one. We've talked a lot about the guys who made plays, who were there, who wasn't on the field. We'll talk to you about that. And Clint, he had to get something off his chest about Damian Pierce. We'll let you hear what that is coming up.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack. You can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Happy 610 Day, H-Town. Celebrating another year as Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
You missed it earlier. We had our guy Will Conkle on with us as he was with us for two segments in the 2 o'clock hour. Good conversation with Will as he was at Texans mandatory minicamp day one, also covering the Astros. I'm sure he'll be doing his thing out there tonight. But something Will said earlier, he said he heard that from the Texans, from him, that they got 100% participation thus far in mandatory minicamp. Just maybe everyone wasn't out there or on the field. Which is good. As I said, I expressed to you who wasn't practicing and or who we didn't even see out there, right? And this according to Aaron Wilson, working on the side field today, not in the regular practice, but on the side. Braxton Berrios, he was doing that during OTAs as well. Danico Autry was working on the side field, not practicing. Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce. Also, Christian Harris. I didn't even see Christian Harris at all out there. Maybe he was inside getting work in. Did you see? I didn't see Henry Toa Toa.
Well, I did not, no.
Maybe he was inside getting work or something as well. Damian Pierce, as we said, out there. Didn't see him out there either. With Joe Mixon, according to Aaron Wilson, Mixon is out of his walking boot, per sources, and now in an ankle brace. Mobility much better, and he's tracking well for training camp. So that one there makes some sense, Clint, that he would be out there. We saw Trent Brown doing the same thing as he was doing at OTAs, still in street clothes, but out there, as D'Amico said earlier, pouring into a lot of his teammates, coming off the field and helping guys like Ariante Ursary and Blake Fisher. So there are several guys that weren't there out there on the practice field. And Clint, I don't know about you, there are two that really jump out to me. I get Joe Mixon, fine. But the Damian Pierce and Christian Harris thing to me is interesting. Those are two players that I would say are players that probably need to prove themselves. Players that probably, I don't want to say fighting for roster spots, but maybe in that ballpark. I think Damian Pierce definitely is now when they sign Nick Chubb. And we haven't seen them at OTAs or at today's mandatory minicamp. And we've heard other guys' injuries, and we've not heard this from those two. Those guys clearly jump out. Again, as we said during OTAs, not sure of what the reason that they aren't out there. But those two seem like those are guys that really need to be out there competing for their jobs, because all of a sudden you look up, those were two guys coming into year one or year two of this thing that you thought could be major players. Hell, Damian Pierce, when D'Amico got here, was the best option on offense they had, right? He was another guy they thought they that would be a part of their offense. He said that Christian Harris was the most talented linebacker he's ever coached and had a great second half of that first year and into the playoffs. And those guys are in different places right now. And Hell, EJ Speed, you could see as somebody that could be a replacement. And now, obviously, Nick Chubb is here. Those two really jump out there that haven't been there.
Yeah, look, there's no question about it. I mean, both of those guys are at positions where that position room specifically is full. And there's some really good players, and they've brought in better players. So just the position in general is extremely competitive. The linebacker crew probably at the starters, and the running back room definitely from the two down, or let's call it from the three down, because I don't think Nick Chubb's competing with anybody in that room. But the reality of it is, yes, I mean, new offense, mandatory camp, position room being stacked. These guys should be out there. Now, look, I don't know what's going on with their injuries, so I don't know. I don't want to put the cart before the horse here, but I know whatever's going on with them better be serious to keep them away from not just being there but participating.
Yeah, that's it's an interesting thing, man. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if it's a coincidence, Clint, that those two guys in particular aren't out there. I don't know what it means. I think it's or that we haven't heard in reports injury-wise or why they're not out there. Like, those are two guys that you would almost want, if you're the team, you want to get out reasonings if there are logical reasons that they're not out there, because there are players that people kind of have a feel about.
Well, the Christian Harris thing is the one that I want to see, that I don't understand. The Damian Pierce deal, I think that's ran its course. I think it's time to move on. The Christian Harris thing to me is I guess fascinating is the right word, because you mentioned earlier D'Amico's comments. We've had him on the post-game show multiple times. He seems to be a guy that is cut from the Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryan's cloth, without a doubt. You just look at his playmaking ability, on the field with the speed. He is today's linebacker. He is what you want your linebacker first and foremost to be, is a guy that with that kind of speed, that kind of open field tackler, with that kind of ability to cover. I don't care who's here.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, there's not a linebacker here that if Christian Harris is playing at his peak, he's not better than. There's just not, look, it's totally different player than Henry Toa Toa, totally different player than Azeez Al-Shaair. So you're not talking about those guys. It's not, those are different linebackers. You know, you're talking about your speed linebackers. And look, I just think this, from a talent perspective, he's elite. And so that's the one that's fascinating. Look, if the injury's still holding him out, then so be it. But whatever's going on there seems to be real trivial. And I'm fascinated with what, you know, what the fallout could be, or what the end game here is, whether it's for Christian Harris or D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah. With Damian Pierce, are you at all a little disappointed that it seems like he's not going to get a, now with Nick Chubb here, right? The writing's on the wall. You're a little disappointed he's not going to get a shot.
No.
To kind of show the Texans that he could be at least a viable threat.
No. He's had 2 years, man. I mean, Devin Singletary ended up getting all the run. They trusted him more than they did you in a time when you could have been the bell cow kind of deal, and they clearly didn't trust or want you in those scenarios. You fast forward, and now all you got to do is be a backup for Joe Mixon. They didn't trust you to be that guy. That you're there's an opportunity to be a third down back. They don't trust you to be that guy. Really, the only time that they trusted you and played you in a way that it benefited Joe Mixon is when Joe Mixon was out at the end of the season and not playing. So he played against the Tennessee Titans. No, look, I think the Damian Pierce, he's ran his course here in Houston. It's time to move on. I like the kid. I wish him well. It wouldn't surprise if he didn't go somewhere. This system, the system, Bobby Slowick's system that he was in for 2 years, I think is it's being ran all over the league to some degree. Maybe not the exact system, but the more successful ones. Terminology wise, I think he'll be fine. He'll probably get another shake somewhere, and that's great. But I think here in Houston, it's ran its course. I don't think the Texans should plan on going into another season, compete, allowing a guy to even compete and potentially win a job that you clearly don't trust. That you clearly don't believe is the guy. So, yeah, no, I think they've moved on from
They've made every move in the offseason to show it. They move up to go get Woody Marks in.
Yeah.
And obviously, and Nick Chubb wasn't the only person he was rumored with. And listen, man, I know there's a feel that the natural thing is Bobby. Just to kind of blame Bobby Slowick for things. With everything concerning the offense, I'll just say I don't think it was just on Bobby Slowick that didn't have the belief in Damian Pierce. I don't think the deal was, all right, now that we've got him out of there, you know, now Damian Pierce is going to be. I don't think it was just Bobby. I think a lot of people had feelings, these similar feelings, and that's why they're making the moves past him. All right, coming up as we continue a little 5 o'clock fire. We'll get you caught up to hear from D'Amico. D'Amico spoke about what he wants to get out of minicamp, and C.J. Stroud spoke about his shoulder soreness. You do not want to miss that. And news coming in here in the last couple of minutes from the captain, Joe Espada, concerning some of his injured players, including Yordan Alvarez. We'll let you hear the latest on that as we continue right here live. A little 5 o'clock fire coming up next right here on The Drive.